So today I'd like to look at case number 22 in the Singing Together in Harmony collection of verse commentaries. This is also case number 31 in the Gateless Gate and case number 10 in the Book of Equanimity. And it's titled, Zhao Zhou Investigates the Old Woman. And it reads like this. A monk asked an old woman, what is the way to Mount Tai? The old woman said, go straight ahead. When the monk had proceeded a few steps, she said, a good, respectable monk, but he too goes off like that. When Zhao Zhou heard about this, he said, hold on. I'll go and investigate that old woman thoroughly for you. Next day, Zhao Zhou went and asked her the same question, and she replied in the same way. He returned and announced to his assembly, I have investigated and seen through that old woman of Mount Tai for you. Miao Zhong wrote, crouching at the foot of the ancient road to Mount Tai, traveling monks come and go, meeting with shields and spears. Zhao Zhou lifts up the arrow of the great leader, but once he has shot through the skeleton, he stops. And then Zhu Kui wrote, and I'm leaving out the second verse that she made. She said, go straight ahead. Go straight ahead. Distracted, he mistakes the road that was pointed out. Traveling south, north, east, and west through the grasses. How many times can he go around and back in circles? What Zhao Zhou investigated, there are few who understand. Returning home in the spring breeze, singing and dancing alone. Tut, tut, that wild fox. So fortunately, we know by name Miao Zhong, Bao Chur, and Zhu Kui. Fortunately, we know by name Patachara, Bada Kapalani, and Peng Liang Zhao. Fortunately, we know by name Ann Aiken, Joan Rick, who is still living, and Ruth Dennison. Unfortunately, we do not know the name of this tea seller and countless others who practice within and without our lineage. But all these women were dedicated, persevering, insightful, and wise practitioners. To all of them, to each of them, we bow in gratitude. Mount Tai is said to be the sacred mountain where Manjusri, the incarnation of wisdom, resided. This woman lived at the foot of the mountain and was a student of Manjusri. It was said that she saw through one of Manjusri's most difficult sayings, front 3-3, back 3-3, which all Zen students at one time or another must face. She was clearly an adept and a guardian of that sacred mountain. Whenever a monk on pilgrimage came to the foot of her teacher's residence, they inevitably stopped for a cup of tea and asked, when looking at the rugged countryside filled with hills and mountains, which is the way to Mount Tai? She would say, go straight ahead. Go straight ahead. And these are very encouraging words to hear on this day of Sesshin. In the beginning days of Sesshin, it is sometimes hard to get settled. Your bodies are tired, the legs and backs ache, and the mind is tossing up all sorts of gobbledygook to distract and discourage you. At times like this, simply return to your one and only practice and heed and find encouragement in the old tea seller's words. No matter what is coming up, hard feelings, persistent thoughts, or dull aches. Simply go straight ahead. Simply return to mu, to the sounds of dripping and blowing. Simply return to this inhale. Simply return to this exhale. That is going straight ahead. The monks who asked her this question, however, misunderstood her teaching. They thought she was giving directions to a place somewhere else, and so they'd start walking, not realizing that the walk itself, like the breath itself, like mu itself, is go straight ahead. And so she did admonish them and point again to this very place and to this very body, and she'd say, a good, respectable monk, but he too goes off like that. One of the monks who went off like that told Zhao Zhou about the old tea-selling woman. And Zhao Zhou, intrigued and curious, said, I'll go and investigate that old woman thoroughly for you. The next day, Zhao Zhou did just that. He asked the same question, and she replied in the same way. That night he said to the assembly, I have investigated and seen through that old woman of Mount Tai for you. So what does that mean? I have investigated and seen through. What is investigation when we're doing Zazen? What is investigation when we're walking, standing, and lying down? Over the many years of practice, I've been asked to investigate my walking, sitting, standing, and lying down. And I've asked many of you to investigate the same by asking, who hears? Or where is mu? Or does the sound of the bell come to you, or do you go to it? Or why do you put on your sitting clothes and rakusu at the sound of the bell? Dogen, a not too distant relative in the Dharma, has asked us to investigate. He's asked us to investigate not only our own forward and backward walking and sitting, but he's asked us to investigate the walking of both green and blue mountains. He also encouraged us to investigate the East Mountain's movement on water. Dogen intimates that if we think this type of investigation isn't possible, or we do not understand the walking of blue mountains and the flowing of East Mountains, it isn't because the mountains do not walk and flow, but that our investigation isn't clear or precise. He intimates that if we aren't able to investigate successfully, it is because our means of investigation aren't yet fully developed, because the mountains indeed are walking and flowing in this very moment. One reason we have difficulties investigating accurately is because we assign values to what is before us. We think in the paradigm of subject and object, male and female, sentient and insentient. We can expand our investigative parameters by not giving value to being or non-being, to born or unborn, to dead or undying, to time and no time. If there is any Buddhism, Zen, or self-identity in your investigation, the investigation will not be successful. You will just end up meeting yourself and your own ideas. You will just end up, as Cicero forecasted in Julius Caesar when he said, indeed, It is a strange, disposed time, but men and women may construe things after their fashion, clear from the purpose of the things themselves. Be careful, especially on this second day of Sesshin. Do not make things into something, and do not make them into nothing. Let them be what they actually are. You do not have to add a single thing to Mu. You do not have to add a single thing to the dripping of rain or to the flitting of jays. And you don't have to add a single thing to the chomping of horses in the darkness of abandoned grasses. You do not have to add a single thing to your sadness, to your grief, or to your joy. Just let them be without your commentaries, narratives, and subtle slogans. When we forget ourselves and allow things to be, when we do not grasp at or push away thoughts, feelings, sounds, or sensations, and sit in the opening field of Mu, and of who hears, and of Shikantaza, our investigation sharpens. Hung Shur, a close relative to Dogen in the Dharma, called this type of investigation wandering in the circle of wonder. We wander because there are no boundaries to hold or contain us other than the forms and schedule of Sesshin. We wander meeting ourselves in the call of the lone owl at dawn. We wander meeting ourselves in the sob of a friend at midnight. And we wander meeting ourselves in the soft, plaintive yipping of a coyote pining for his absent partner, whose bones are turning to winter. In our investigation, in this wandering and wonder, you need only move in the natural rhythms of Sesshin. You only have to move in the natural rhythms of eating and walking, and in sitting and sleeping, and in chanting and bowing. When you let go of discriminative conditioning, when you forget yourself for only a moment, there is then simply seeing through. But like Jiao Zhou, who came down from the monastery to meet with the woman adept, simply seeing through does not mean we aren't engaged and active in the world and in the sobs, plaintive cries, and shiverings. This investigation and seeing through, in fact, places us more fully into the middle of the world. It actually invites us into a more intimate level of participation and response. You are no longer held back by your ideas and conditions, which narrow your range of responses. When you forget yourself and are confirmed by and confirm the myriad things, you, like Zhao Zhou, will be able to say, I have investigated and seen through. And in fact, because this old woman was of Mount Tai, she too saw through the old man from the monastery, and sitting at her roadside tea hut, she was intimately engaged with all manner of goings-on. So Miao Zung's verse goes like this. Crouching at the foot of the ancient road to Mount Tai, traveling monks come and go, meeting with spears and shields. Zhao Zhou lifts up the arrow of a great leader. But once he has shot through the skeleton, he stops. This first line is a lovely image, crouching at the foot of the ancient road to Mount Tai. Miao Zong depicts the old tea seller, liking her to a warrior. But the allusion, I think, too, is also to that of a lion. This old lady is crouched at the foot of Manjushri's mountain like a lion. Manjushri, along with Avalokiteshvara, are two of the most important bodhisattvas in Mahayana Buddhism. Manjushri is the archetype of insight into the vast realm of emptiness, and he is often depicted sitting on a lion. The lion he sits on, however, hasn't been vanquished. The lion is the embodiment of the courage, fierceness, and utter determination necessary to be wise. And his wisdom isn't pure and removed from this world, but bloodied from participation and involvement in it. Manjushri is known as the teacher of the seven ancient Buddhas, and so is the teacher of Shakyamuni Buddha. And he is the teacher of this old woman, who is indistinguishable from many others of her class and craft. She was probably slight and wrinkled. Her face weathered by the mountain environs she lived and worked in. She is so indistinguishable that she has no name, but she is of Mount Tai. She isn't a wanderer, she isn't a visitor, and she isn't just passing through on the way to somewhere else. She is of the mountain. She is one of its shallow ridges or outcroppings. She is one of its creeks or springs. And when she serves tea, she crouches like a demon guardian checking all those walking the ancient road. This road, like the old woman, has no name and no particular features, but it runs to the heart of the mountain. It runs to the heart of Manjushri. And the old lady with no name sits there guised as a tea seller. But her purpose isn't only that. She, like a mountain guard at a desolate border between two countries, checks the passports of all who arrive. And it doesn't matter if the traveler is a king or queen. It doesn't matter if it's Zhao Zhou or Lin Qi or a monk or a nun. She checks by saying, "Go straight ahead." And she watches to see if they follow her directions literally and concretely, or whether they understand the deeper implications of her statement. And fortunately, after casting her discerning eye, she always goes straight herself by saying, "Oh, a good, respectable monk, but you too go off like that." I wonder, is her statement an admonishment or an encouragement? Is it a correction or meant to be an inspiration? So Miao Zong wrote, crouching at the foot of the ancient road to Mount Tai. Traveling monks come and go, meeting with shields and spears. Zhao Zhou lifts up his arrow of a great leader, but once he has shot through the skeleton, he stops. I find I'm not too interested in Miao Zong's martial analogies, but that was, and unfortunately is, the way some describe this process we're involved in. The old lady crouches like a warrior, says Miao Zung, and the traveling monks are met with spears and shields, her questions. They are tested by the old woman, who is quite formidable, and the meeting is direct with nothing held in reserve. Zhao Zhou, coming down from the monastery, brought his great arrow, the one which flew through the iron-walled silver mountain, the one that cuts away any hint of discrimination or constructing intellect. In this case, however, he loosened his arrow, but it went right through. The student of Manjushri, the old woman, who had long ago cut off her own delusions, had abandoned her own sense of direction and had turned away from any associations to mountains and valleys, to Manjushri or Avalokiteshvara. Because there was nothing to hit, Zhao Zhou stopped. Stop. Right now, stop. That stop is go straight ahead. Stop. When you stop, you meet the old tea seller with no name. When you stop, you meet Zhao Zhou. When you stop, you meet Manjushri right here as the barking dogs and as the slight shifting of the person sitting next to you. You meet him as my voice and as the gathering of clouds and the thickening cold of winter. Stop. Zhukui's echo of this case in Miao Zhong's verse goes like this. Go straight ahead. Go straight ahead. Distracted, he mistakes the road that was pointed out. Traveling north, south, east, and west through the grasses, how many times can he go around and back in circles? What Zhao Zhou investigated, there are few who understand. Returning home in the spring breeze, singing and dancing alone. Tut, tut, that wild fox. Zhukui's poem, like the old woman's Taisho, goes straight ahead, is rather forthright. She is chiding the monks for misunderstanding the road to the mountain as the road they are following. She wonders for how long they'll follow the points on the compass, north, south, east, and west, through the tall grasses of their mistaken notions and beliefs, round and round, lifetime after lifetime. She wonders how long before they will realize this very place is Mount Tai. This very body, Manjushri. And this very utterance or sigh or sob, the lion. Zhukui then writes, what Zhao Zhou investigated, few understand. And this is the very point of the koan. What did Zhao Zhou investigate? What did he find out about the old woman crouched, the old woman of the mountain? And then, fortunately for us, Zhukui pronounces her investigation's findings, saying, returning home in the spring breeze, singing and dancing alone. Tut, tut, that wild fox. Although Zhukui is speaking of Zhao Zhou here, she could as well be referencing the old tea seller because, after closing her tea shed for the evening, no matter the season. She cloaks herself in flowers, in red, purple, blue, and white, to then wander in the circle of wonder, returning home to the place she never left, even for a moment. And the song she sings as she wanders in the great circle, whether it's cold or hot, whether foggy or clear, whether snowing or dry, would be, go straight ahead. Just go straight. Okay, thank you.